God to thank you all for being here today in the house of worship and the house of prayer. And we praise our Heavenly Father for the beautiful time that we had in fellowship yesterday. You know, those things, you can't put together a good time. You can't do that. And they just happen. And I also mean that our Lord puts those things together when you meet in His name. He puts those things together. We praise Him. We don't praise any individual. We praise our Lord. Because He is the author, and Jesus Christ was not the author of the whole day, a good share of us here wouldn't know each other, would we? And so, but at this time, we've come together in worship and praise, and also for edification and encouragement and strength, and as a servant of the Lord, has prepared and thought and places himself in God's hands and relies upon the Lord for a message and for the Lord's truth. I've known our brother for a few years now, and I've relied upon him in many ways for a lot of strength and answer and wisdom in the ministry. The Lord has used him many times. And I ask an interest in your prayers. The Lord will use him now for our edification. And so I'd like to present to you the pastor of the Brantford Local, Elder Michael Bouvard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Feel blessed to be part of your weekend here. This past weekend, you know, I guess it's a common thought that, you know, by unbelievers, if you would, that Christians don't have any fun, that we're dull and boring. But I had a lot of fun yesterday, just so you know. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't pause to mention that our reunion is coming up on the Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, which is, hope I get this right, October 11th and 12th, or 10th and 11th. Something like that weekend anyway. If you come a day early, we'll still take care of you. And we'd all love to see you there, so if you can make it, and we'd love to see you. If you need help getting there or directions or anything, please let us know. This morning, I guess the best way to put it is, sometimes we stand up here with a burden, and sometimes, you know, I've heard it expressed that the message that we're going to give is the burden that's on our heart, and really that's not my burden today. I have no problem with what, you know, I have prepared, but the burden is how do I express it to you that you understand what I'm thinking and feeling, and we've all been there. You don't have to be part of the ministry to know that sometimes you just say to yourself, you know, I don't know how to put it in words, you know, I don't know how to express myself, and that's the burden that I feel this morning, that the thoughts that I have, I won't be able to properly put it into the English language and give it to you. So I would obviously appreciate your prayers. This morning also, I hope that I can talk to you differently than I have perhaps in the past or whatever. You know, many times I feel we're up here and we start preaching and so on, and sometimes I feel that maybe we feel a little bit distant. And I hope that's not the case, that I hope that I'm able to talk to you today as if we were one and one, like we were driving a car or something, and I was just telling you something that was on my heart. That's my hope, that it would just be a walk one with another. There's no difficult scriptures that I have today. I don't have any problems with difficult scriptures. I use Strong's, I use this, I use that to find the meaning, but today we won't be needing any of those things because the scriptures I have chosen are easy to understand. And, you know, I also want to tell you that the message that I have for you this morning is not what I intended to give. Now, I didn't know if Adam was going to ask me to preach or not. I didn't know. But the way that I operate myself is, I like to work on major projects or major sermons. And they take a long time to exhaustively study them, if you will, and to put them together. And the one that I had planned, I started actually when I came back from Israel, and I was frantically trying to put it all together for this morning, if I was asked. But 3 weeks ago or so, I did the math and thought, you're not going to make it. You know, you're not going to be able to put it together, and if you do, it's going to be a pretty sloppy affair. And so I shelved it, and I have this one instead. And this one I started before I went to Israel, but I hit a brick wall, and I just shelved it. But it came to light. So you may be thinking, well, based on those words, there's a particular message that I'm going to give just for this local, and that is certainly not true. I want to tell you that the message which I'm about to give was not designed with this local in mind. I can tell you who it was designed for, and that was me. I need to be reminded of some things. And sometimes, you know, we realize as we're preparing that, it's hitting pretty hard inside. And for the last 3 weeks, I have been getting up at 4 in the morning, and this thing has been turning in my mind, and I'm visiting scriptures, and I'm contemplating, and I'm pondering. And so I'm glad that today is today, because once I give the message, I hope that that sort of stuff goes away, where you're not so consumed by a message, because it wears you down. Today I want to talk direct as well. And what I mean by that, you know, when I've always went to church, but it's the last 20 years that when I got exposed to the Church of Christ that I really started to study them. And one of the things that first hit me when I started to study the four Gospels is how direct Christ talked. Sometimes abrasive. You know, he just told it as it was. And even to his own disciples, you can feel that he was saying, listen, you know, and it's very direct, and you feel it. You know, and there's obviously a reason for it. He never sugarcoated anything, I don't think. And so I hope today that I don't sugarcoat what I have to say. And some of the things which I will probably say probably won't be that pleasant to the imagination, I suppose. But I hope there's still something here for you. So that's enough preamble, I suppose. So we'll get to the meat of the matter. And our text this morning will be Psalm number 23. When we read these words, and I know we know them, I bet you there's some here that know them off the heart, but you don't really need to follow along in the 23rd Psalm. It's a popular one, but I hope that we kind of really focus on all the words this morning as we read it as a beginning. We're going to read the entire thing. Obviously, it's not too long. And hope that we'll refresh our memory about the 23rd Psalm. So let's begin right at verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, this is a very common reading. This is a very common psalm. It's very, very popular, as you probably know, at funerals and so on. And it's very beautiful. Now, it was poetically written by David in the Hebrew language, probably. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it would have been the Hebrew language. And yet, even translated into English as we read it, you know, it reads pretty nice. It flows really nice. So I got to tell you, I don't like poetry. You know, it's not a choice I made, though. I hate poetry. But growing up in school, we had to write poetry and study poetry. I never liked it. I had no, you know, no need for poetry. And yet, even this here, you know, I can see the beauty in it. There's something special about this particular psalm. You don't have to be a student of Hebrew studies to get the meaning of it. You don't have to be a master studier. It's pretty clear and plain. There are two main characters in the 23rd Psalm, even though one of them is not mentioned. And the two main characters are a shepherd and sheep. So I want to start off by giving you facts about sheep first. And some of these facts will have to deal with the time of David. But at the time of David, sheep, they were very treasured animals. They were used for milk, for wool, for diet, for their hides were treasured. Their horns were used, I think, for as a trumpet, as a musical instrument, and of course for sacrifice. Sheep were domesticated early. Abel was a keeper of sheep. So right away, you know, that was picked up on. Sheep are easily led and prone to go astray, as we already said this morning. I want to talk about a shepherd now. Shepherds are, back in David's time, were not usually, I say this, you know, not usually the owners of the sheep. But they were actually hired by the owners of sheep to be shepherds for them because they didn't want to do the work. And that brings to mind a scripture, and I do want to visit this one. It's in John in the 10th chapter. But before we read it, I want to say this, that, you know, I continue to marvel at our Lord about His great design and His great plan and His forethought for everything. And I don't think for a second that he said to himself one day, well, I want to call my human family a nice little animal name, you know, a little nickname, and I've got horses here and chickens and squirrels and sheep. What should I call them? Let's name them sheep. You know, it's easy to spell, and we'll go with sheep. No, that's not how I don't think it went. I think it was from the beginning that we were to be called sheep, and it wouldn't be surprising to me to know that the Lord created sheep just for that purpose, to be calling us, you know, sheep. It wouldn't surprise me. But anyways, John in the 10th chapter, verse 29, should read as follows. It says, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I want to concentrate on my Father which gave them me." So even Christ was actually saying, you know, my Father gave me you guys, the sheep. You know, they're not my own, but my Father gave them, just like it was back in David's day. More facts about shepherds during David's time. A shepherd was a lowly job on the social scale back then. If you were a farmer, that was great, but a shepherd, you weren't much. You weren't much at all. And if you remember when Saul was to anoint the future king, and he went to the sons of Jesse, and Jesse paraded seven of his sons in front of him, and finally Samuel says, "Well, is there one missing?" And he said, "Oh yeah, that's David's out there, sheep, you know." If it was a really desired job, the older sons would have had it, but they couldn't wait to pass up. Nobody wanted it. You know, to be in the military or something, that was good. But a shepherd, no. It was not glamorous at all. The work was, as we say today, 24/7. You know, the shepherd had to lead the sheep to water as needed. You know, and he did not drive them, he led them. And the sheep willingly followed. He named them, they all had names, and he knew them by name. The shepherd knew all of the sheep by name back then. He carried a flute to entertain himself and also to keep the sheep content. It worked. During the evening, the sheep went into what's called a sheep cote, or we'll call a flock enclosure. And it's just a pile of rocks built as a fence, like a square enclosure. And there, during the night, the sheep went in, and that was to keep the robbers from stealing the sheep, and also to keep the sheep safe from predators and so on. Shepherds had no way or nowhere to lay their head, as a rule. They used their cloak as bedding, and they slept at the door of the sheepcote all night, in the rain, the snow, the cold, the heat, and the wind, etc. We know what the 23rd Psalm is. You know, the Lord has been identified as David's shepherd. You know, and we could go verse by verse through the 23rd Psalm and discuss all the beautiful things about it, all the blessings that are contained therein. And you know, all of them are true and all of them are important. However, there's something just as important to me that stands out in that psalm. Maybe something that's commonly missed, I don't know. But I bet you it's commonly missed at the funerals that you and I go to. And it's in the first verse. You know, where David said, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord didn't just tell us about a shepherd. He told us of his shepherd. There's lots of shepherds out there, brothers and sisters, we know that. But he identified who his shepherd was. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. The emphasis on the word my. You know, if we think of our own parents, we don't say, if we see them, oh, look, a mother and a father. We say, look, my mother and my father. We identify very personally who these people are. And that's what David was doing there. You know, my shepherd. Without the word my in that first line, for David or for us, the rest of the psalm is of no value. If we can't say within ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd, then the blessings are void. There are no green pastures for us, no still waters. No, he leadeth me. No table. No cup runneth over. And no dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. To receive those blessings, there must be an understanding that there are requirements. There are requirements. How many times, I wonder, has that beautiful psalm been recited at funerals, and yet the words that are spoken over the person as deceased really have no bearing because the Lord never was their shepherd. Just a bunch of words. And we have to understand, too, that David wrote it in present tense. He didn't say, you know, the Lord will be my shepherd, or the Lord was my shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. Present tense, all the time. The description of sheep that I gave you earlier came from the Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. But it was not complete. They left some things out. And I know because I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to observe them. I'm talking about sheep. You know, I've never had the opportunity before to actually observe a flock of sheep. I even worked on a farm as a young person, and maybe I don't get out much, but I wasn't gonna throw away this opportunity, you know. And when I pulled up with my cement mixer, I was delivering concrete to a sheep farm. When I got there, they said there's been a delay. We've got problems, so just hang tight. And I thought, perfect. You know, I'm gonna go watch these sheep. You know, if we see sheep or hear the word, we're interested because we have a relationship to that word, more so than the rest of the world, I do believe. So that was okay with me. I wanted to watch the sheep. And And so there I picked my spot, and I'm watching them. And here comes another cement truck. It had to maneuver itself, you know, right by the sheep enclosure or the field with a nice fence around it. And the sheep looked, oh, there's a cement truck, you know. And they all left what they were doing, which is eating, and they all scurried to the fence right as close to the truck as they could get, and they watched it go by like this. And when it was gone, I said, oh, that was nice. And they went back to where they were, the trough, and they started grazing and eating and drinking and doing those things. And here comes another cement truck. And they looked and said, oh, a cement truck. And so they scurried to the fence, you know, and they got really, really close, and they're all piled in there. And they watched the cement truck go by, just like this. And it was done. They went back to their eating, what they were doing. And then came another one, and you know exactly what happened. Exactly the same thing. And I realized that I was not looking at a very bright animal. Actually, quite dumb. And to be perfectly direct, and this to be very direct, quite stupid. And we can describe sheep further if you want. This came from a sheep farmer. They are bullheaded, they are stubborn, they are predictable, and this will hurt, brothers and sisters, when I say this. And as far as the animals go, they are very filthy. So at first, when I was watching these sheep, I was entertained, I was amused. Then as I continued to watch, I became troubled in mind and spirit. Now, you know what, and I still am today about that vision, but more about that later. But I soon realized that I was looking at, the way I was looking at those sheep was the way that God looks upon His sheep, His children. I became aware that this is how God sees me. You know, not too bright, quite dumb. And you know, prone to stray, and boy, it's true, isn't it? And I tell you, it hurt pretty bad when I came to that realization. In our natural state, we are pathetic. I've seen how we look and how we act. We may see ourselves as smart. We've got gadgets. We've got inventions. We've got space travel. But we have to recognize ourselves as easily led, foolish, dumb sheep. And we must see the Lord as our shepherd. This is necessary we have to come to terms with who we are. We have to come to terms of how God looks upon us. So who is our shepherd? You know, if we say, well, the Lord is my shepherd, how do we know that the Lord is indeed our shepherd? It makes no sense to ask ourselves about that. We need to ask the shepherd, you know, how do I qualify to be one of your sheep? And we need to go back to the 10th chapter of John again and read a few scriptures. And this is, of course, the shepherd talking himself, I do believe. 10th chapter, starting right at verse 1. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So that is a big part of the answer here. The sheep hear his voice. And we have to make sure that we answer that description, that we hear the Lord's voice. You know, this was explained to me. I don't know if it's true. I think it is. This was explained to me that, you know, we had that nice pig roast yesterday, and we all gathered in one spot. But if we were all shepherds, and we went to the pig roast and brought our sheep with us, well, they'd all intermingle. There'd be sheep all over the place. You know, your sheep would be mixed up with mine and so on and so forth. But it was time to go. If we called, okay, my sheep, let's go, They hear the voice of their shepherd, and they immediately follow. They'll separate themselves from other sheep, and they will follow their shepherd. That's how it works. And apparently, this is quite true. They will not follow anybody else's voice, but only their own shepherd. How long would it take to discuss all the different ways to hear his voice? Well, it would be endless. I'd be up here all day. I'm sure you wouldn't appreciate that. But I can tell you of just a few ways, perhaps, of how we can hear his voice. You know, the opening scripture, the opening verse, I should say, in the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or do we? Do we still want, is the big question. And I want to go to a familiar scripture, 3 Nephi in the 11th chapter. Starting at verse number 11, page 668. Page 668, starting at verse 11. "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Do we hear his voice? Do we really believe that scripture? That if you tithe and offer, if you give of your increase, that you're going to get back more than you ever gave. That's a stumbling block for a lot of people. And I'm not here to talk to this local about tithing and offering. That's not my responsibility here. It's not just to my own local. But I wonder how we really understand how tithing and offering really does work. If we can take this scripture and unravel it in a different way. And I have an understanding of it, but we have to be so careful that we don't go around saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." But when it comes to finances, say the Lord, "Well, I can handle it from here. I don't need your help right now." No, he has to be our shepherd all the time. But this is how I see tithing and offering. And this is how, and I actually got it by reading this. The Lord does not look at the Church of Christ bank accounts each year and say, "Well, we've got X number of dollars in our bank accounts, therefore, I think we can afford to take 3 trips to Africa this year. We can afford to go to India. The Philippines will have to be cut back because we're a little bit short on funds this year. And the work that I want to begin, say, in New Zealand, well, we'll have to cancel that because we just don't have the money." You know, that's not how it works. This is how I think it works. The Lord is saying to us, is I have a plan. And it's from the beginning. I've had this plan from the beginning. And no one can speed it up and no one can slow it down. And it's a plan to preach the gospel to all the world. It's a plan to gather Israel in the latter days. It's a plan to bring the lost sheep of Israel to the knowledge of their Redeemer. It's a plan like no other has been or ever will be. And my sheep, my people, I'm telling you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to have a part in it. Do you want to partner with me in this? Do you want to be an investor? Do you want to be a stockholder? Do you want to be an associate? Do you want to work with me on this? And I will make you a hunter and I will make you a fisher and you will have an awesome responsibility. But I will share the rewards with you. I will bless you immediately and I will also share in the joy that I receive when people, when my lost sheep, but when Israel is gathered, I'm going to give you some of that joy so you can feel it because you have decided to be a part of my plan. your return on investment, if you will be immense. And at that great and last day, I'm going to remember and count it unto you as righteousness, your desire to work with me. But if you don't want to work with me, I'll have to ask you at that great and last day, what part of the plan didn't you like? What greater thing on earth was there that caused you to invest in something else? We've got to hear the voice of the Lord. He's giving us an invitation like no other. Like I said, it's not about tithing and offering. No, we are gathered together today because we are saying that we have the same shepherd. But who is our shepherd when we're not here? Who is our shepherd when we're at work, at school, when we're alone? You know, if there are Wednesday night services or regular services on Sunday, and you and I decide not to go, then we hear not the voice of our shepherd. Because if there are services, he's asking you or telling you by his voice to be here. And if we don't, then he just becomes any shepherd, not the Lord anymore. And we have jumped over that enclosure. You know, there's a really important prophecy or I don't know what you want to call it. If you want to go to Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets there in the Old Testament, there is a prophecy or the writings of Zephaniah that's just echoing in my mind recently, and I've used it a lot in our local. And this is about gathering. This is about going to church. We were talking about it this morning. But Zephaniah chapter 2, let's read the first three verses only. And it says, "Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that it may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. That's his voice. He's telling us, you've got to gather if you want to overcome the period of time in which we're living. That's the voice of the Lord. And if we're not here, we're not paying attention to him. If we're not doing what the flock is supposed to do, if we're not where the flock is supposed to be, somebody's going to notice, by the way. Somebody that's not, you know, if we walk around saying, oh, I'm a Christian and the Lord is my shepherd, but on Sunday mornings we're doing something else, or Wednesday evenings, or whenever there's a service, they pick up on it. And they're going to say, I thought you said the Lord was your shepherd. And you might say, well, he is. Well, that's funny, because they're over there. The shepherd's over there, and you're over here. You know, and this brings up another scripture that I want to visit in Ezekiel, in the 34th chapter. I could read a lot more than I am, but I'm not. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. And it says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not that there may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Now, this is obviously an Old Testament words directed at the shepherds back then who were just slothful, doing terrible things. But it rings true in a big regard for us today. And those scriptures still apply to the ministry of today. That's myself and a few others here. And then we are the shepherds, I suppose, of a lesser sort. But you know something? A thought occurred to me. We shepherds, we know our sheep by name. Every one of us who has sheep in the ministry, we know their name. We know their name. And we know when some of them are missing. Sometimes we call out, but there's no answer. You know, we are not responsible for sheep who willingly rebel and refuse to rejoin the flock. But according to verse 10, according to me, we will answer for those that we do not at least search and try and find them. You may say, well, who are you to bring this up? And I'll say to you, nothing. Because I have sheep too in my flock that have jumped the enclosure, they've snuck out at night. They know who they are. And recently I've told them, and much because of this study that I'm doing right now, I've told them, I said, I'm going to hunt, and I'm going to fish, and I'm going to track you down and drag you back. What you do with it is up to you. So says the voice of the shepherd. I want to go to two scriptures in the Book of Mormon. And I want to tie them both together, even though they're not together. And the first one is in Alma in the third chapter. I'm going to get you a page number here. Alma 3. We're going to read 62 through 72. And it says as follows, behold, I say unto you that the good shepherd doth call you, yea, and in his own name he doth call you, which is the name of Christ. And if he will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd, to the name by which ye are called, behold, ye are not the sheep of the good shepherd. And now if ye are ye not of the not the sheep of the good shepherd, of what fold are ye? Behold, I say unto you that the devil is your shepherd, and ye are of his fold. And now who can deny this? Behold, I say unto you, whosoever denieth this is a liar and a child of the devil. For I say unto you that whosoever is good, or whatsoever is good cometh from God, and whatsoever is evil cometh from the devil. Therefore, if a man bringeth forth good works, he hearkeneth unto the voice of the good shepherd, and he doth follow him. But whosoever bringeth forth evil works, the same becometh a child of the devil, for he hearkeneth unto his voice, and doth follow him. And whosoever doeth this must receive the wages of him, therefore for his wages he receiveth death, as to the things pertaining unto righteousness, being dead unto all good works. And now, my brethren, I would that ye should hear me, for I speak in the energy of my soul. For behold, I have spoken unto you plain, that you cannot err, or are spoken according to the commandments of God. And hold that thought and go back to Mosiah in the fifth chapter. I want to read just one verse. And it will be found on page 233. I'm actually going to read three verses. Page 233, starting at verse 84. It says, oh, how marvelous are the works of the Lord, and how long does he suffer with his people? Yea, and how blind and impenetrable are the understandings of the children of men, for they will not seek wisdom, neither do they desire that she should rule over them. This is the verse I want. Yea, they are as wild flock, which fleeth from the shepherd, and scattereth, and are driven, and are devoured by the beasts of the forest. Based on that scripture, I want to take you back a few years to an event you probably all might remember, and it's Christmas Day 2007. And the place is the San Francisco Zoo, when a provoked and raged 350-pound Siberian tiger got out of the enclosure that he was in. He escaped from it, and having been tormented terribly just prior to that, you know, he was on a rage. And he went on a bloody rampage, and he attacked the first employee and killed him. Now, did he stop there? Was there enough there for a meal? Absolutely. But that wasn't his intent. And he went after another victim. And he mauled him with his teeth and claws. And he didn't stop there either. And he went after a third and knocked him down and did the same thing. And when the officers arrived, I guess the police officers, the tiger was sitting beside his last victim as if it was a trophy. Proudful, almost prideful. And when he seen the officers, you know, he took a few more swipes at his victim that was laying beside him, and then he aligned himself and charged for the four officers that were there with the intent of killing them all. He wasn't gonna stop. For whatever reason, when I was looking at those sheep at that farmer's field when I was delivering concrete, I imagined those sheep in that farmer's field being under attack by a wild beast of the forest. Whatever reason, I chose a lion. Can't tell you why. And I could just see in my mind, and this is not a vision given me of the Lord, this is my own vision, I want you to understand that, but I seen it go into the enclosure because there was no good shepherd there. And he began devouring the sheep one by one. And it was an awful scene in my mind. And I realized that he would not stop. There was probably over 100 sheep in that flock. And I knew in my mind that that lion would not stop until they were all dead. The sheep were defenseless. I could see that. A small animal, really. Not too strong. No sharp teeth to speak of. No big hooves to kick with, no deadly horns to defend off their assailant. All they could do was scatter and run. But that didn't work either because the beast was faster. The lion was faster. And why did the lion do this, in my mind? It's because he could. He was allowed to have open season. And we know what lions like to do. They like to hunt, and they like to kill. And this is what troubled me. And this is what still troubles me today when I think of that. This is what I see. That vision and that devouring, that terrible onslaught is going on out there beyond these walls right now. Might not be able to see it, but it's going on right now with all kinds of sheep that are out there. It's open season for the dragon, and those sheep out there, they're defenseless, and they have no good shepherd. And that's why it's happening. They can stop, those sheep out there, they can stop a Siberian tiger, but they cannot stop the beast. He's going to devour them. They will eventually be had. And he can consume us. We're not exactly safe in here. Unless we have it written upon our hearts that the Lord is my shepherd. If we have written upon our hearts like David that the Lord is my shepherd, then we can liken it to the Lord sitting right at that door that we came in this morning, watching over us and making sure that nothing happens to us. I always, when I thought of that, I was reminded of the scripture that says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat, But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. 6 or 7 years ago, I had a dream. I won't tell you the whole dream, but I will tell the end of the dream. And I was in a battle with the devil. And it was a physical one, not a spiritual one. I could see that the devil was a person, the image of a man, if you would. And he was after me, and I was trying to get away. And I was going from room to room, trying to escape from the grasp of the devil. And I just could not get away. And so I cried, I said, "Lord, why will you not help me?" No change. I got no help, and the fight continued. And it finally ended up into another room that had many doors. And I managed to push the devil into one of the doors and close it and put myself against it to keep him from coming back in. But I couldn't stop him, and he came back in. So I backtracked, and I found all kinds of stuff that I could throw at him in this room. And I threw all kinds of stuff, and he retreated. And he went back into that door. And then just moments later, with great power and force and strength, he came through that door that final time. And this time I could see his face. I could see the sinister look. I remember what his hair looked like, and then I remember his eyes. And I knew that he was going to devour me. His intent was to kill, and he could do it. There was nothing I could do. So great was his force that there was nothing I could do except surrender everything at that moment to the Lord. No sense fighting back. I'm defenseless. I can't do nothing. And I cried out a simple phrase. I said, "Lord, save me." And he did, allowing me to wake up from my dream in perfect peace and tranquility. But it was not until I surrendered everything to the shepherd that I was released. You have to surrender. The words of David in the 23rd Psalm, you know, they're more than after-death words. They're more than funeral words. They are the very life of our soul, if you think about them. And without these words firmly etched on our person and our hearts, I'm here to tell you, based on the scriptures and about my dream, we will not make it. The Lord has to totally, fully be our shepherd. There is no other way to be saved than by Jesus Christ. It's time to close. So this is the way that I want to do it. I want you to erase any images you may have in your mind of what I just said. Get rid of them. We're done with them. We don't need them anymore. But I want you to join me in my vision when I first seen those sheep in the field. And you can just imagine them, you know, in the farmer's field, cement trucks all over the place. And they were peaceful. They were at peace, those sheep. You know, they had a worry in the world. They were grazing. They had no stress. They had no anxiety. They weren't looking for predators, you know. They were fearing no evil. They weren't plotting their escape either. They weren't huddling in little corners thinking, "How do we get out of here?" You know, there was no such thing going on. They were content, and there was a good reason for it, because they belonged to a good sheep farmer. And I know that because the reason why we were there is he was building a new barn for his sheep, and we were poor on the floor. And this was a state-of-the-art facility that would have provided for all the needs. It was going to be automated. As far as sheep goes, it would have been a mansion. It would have been a mansion. And they would have been kept from danger. They would have kept from weather they did not want for anything. And so it can be for us. You know, if we honestly, wholly, fully have written on our minds, hearts, and souls, "The Lord is my shepherd," then there is for us green pastures. There is for us those still waters. We don't have to fear any evil. Surely our cup will runneth over. And the most important, as far as I'm concerned, the last verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me or us all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thank you for your attention.
I'd like to thank our brother, our Lord's servant, for standing before us today with the words of life and words of encouragement. And he left us with a question for each of us to answer for each of ourselves, and left us with challenge, didn't he? And so I thank you very much for all of this hard work and the Lord's inspiration to fill his frame, his mind, and his soul. That message they gave today. And so he'd also brought a themed hymn for us to close with today, and so if you'd like to turn or pick up that hymn, and with our sister, we'll sing that hymn, Psalm 23. Places as much as possible to stand us and praise our God together. In all ways, Heavenly Father, we'd like to thank you for allowing us a time of worship and praise and thanksgiving and edification through thy Spirit and used of thy servant. Deliver us today a message of encouragement and that which would strengthen and lead us and to be challenged over. In thy will, thy way, and thy direction, thy strength, and thy Spirit. We'd like to thank you, Father, for blessing us this day. Dearest Lord, we pray that you would bless those that are traveling on. Bless their way. Prepare before and around. We thank you for all things that you have knit together through thy wondrous gospel and the plan of thy, and through thy Son. And now, O Lord, that you would bless our fellowship to follow and bless the food that's been prepared. And that your Lord, thy gospel be spoken to our fellowship time and our comments and our thoughts and so on. So, dear Lord, I give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in all things. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
And we have a Thursday.